Thank you, choir.
It was lovely.
You know, there are monuments all over the world intended to preserve the memory of a worthy event or person. Can any of you tell me some well-known monuments in America? What do we have? We have the Lincoln Memorial. Any others? Statue of Liberty? Sure, we've got some. We've got Mount Rushmore. We went there on the way here. Yeah, wonderful. I've always thought it was interesting, the story behind the Taj Mahal. I think it's one of the modern seven-day wonders of the world. I'm not sure, but it certainly is magnificent. It's located, where is it found? What country? India. Built in the 1600s by the emperor for his beloved wife, Mumtaz Mahal. It's an octagonal building with walls measuring 130 feet long, 70 feet high, capped by a dome which raises it an additional 120 feet. This thing is very majestic. It's constructed entirely out of white marble, and it's reflected, if you've seen the pictures, by a huge pool of water. The interior design contains 12 types of inlaid stones and mosaics of exquisite beauty. An unbelievable, exquisite memorial. But this morning, our focus is upon another memorial, even more beautiful in its grandeur and significance. For this memorial was given to us by the Lord himself and those he greatly beloved. Communion, or the Lord's Supper, is the memorial Christ gave us to remember his what? His death, right. So today, we're going to look at the reasons for having this special service. First of all, I'd like you to take out your study guides. If you'd like to follow along that way, we have a very simple outline to follow, but I believe it's meaningful and helpful. Now, what do you do when you are walking by something and all of a sudden you are so interested in it, you're captivated by it, you're compelled by it, and it's so interesting that as you're walking, you do what's called a what? Anybody know? Double take. James, you always have the answer. You're just amazing. You need to go on Jeopardy because you've always got the answers. All right. Jeopardy. Yeah, it's a good game show. Okay, now you do a double take because it's like, you know, you walk along. Whoa, what was that? That's what I did for my wife. I took a double take on her. All right, so think of this. Something that's extraordinarily compelling deserves a double take. But I want you to think about something. The cross of Jesus is so magnificently compelling, beautiful, convicting, transforming, that it deserves more than a mere double take. It deserves a fourfold look. All right? More than a double take. It deserves a fourfold look. So that's what we're going to do today. And here's the first look of those four. The first look to take in thinking of the cross is to take a look back to that immense sacrifice. The first look at the cross is a look back. Paul says in these familiar words from Corinthians, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he what?" Just make sure you're with me. He what? He broke it and said, "This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." When you remember something, what are you doing? You're looking where? You're looking back. So the Lord wants us first to look back and remember his death. Why? Because it awakens the sense in us of our need for him, and it opens our hearts to help us see how much he truly deserves our love, our total love and worship. So the first look is a look back. In fact, when someone dies, we just had Luke's memorial. We're going to do one for another person coming up Monday. When someone dies, we remember all the stories that filled their life. Came across this very interesting story. All right, when someone dies, people start sharing stories. Oh, remember when? This is what they were like. Listen to this. Joseph Bau, when a man named Joseph Bau, B-A-U, died, hundreds remembered how his life profoundly affected theirs. Joseph was born in Poland, 1920, came from a prosperous middle-class family, lived in one of the wealthiest neighborhoods. Joseph enrolled at an art institute, but when World War II came, the Nazis forced he and his family into a Jewish ghetto and finally into a concentration camp. But because of his talent for Gothic lettering, the Nazis used him to produce maps and signs for the camp. But that job also gave Joseph the tools he needed to save more than 400 Jews. Why? He used his resources, his artistic skills, and the ink and paper that he was given to forge false documents and identity papers to help secure the release of over 400 Jews from that camp. When after the war, he was asked why he didn't forge documents for himself, what do you think he said? Then who would have done it for the other Jews? That's right. Who would have done it for them? And when Jesus was hanging on the cross, we hear a similar question. He saved others, but he can't save himself? Look at all these people, but why can't he come down? And Jesus answers from Scripture, what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason that I came. He says, no, I won't shrink back from the sacrifice. This is why I came. So with the death of Joseph Bau, we remember a story that saved hundreds of Jews from death. But with the bread and cup we'll share today, we remember the sacrifice of Jesus, a death that saved the whole world if they'd accept it. So first, we take a look back, but it's a fourfold look. So the second look we take is at communion, is a look within. Within is the next fill-in. Verse 28 says, a man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. So the second look is a look to the present, a look within ourselves. When we look within ourselves, what are we looking for? We're looking to see whether or not we're truly experiencing the transforming grace of God from the cross. You see that? Is that fair? We're really looking. Why do you look within ourselves? Well, we're taking an honest look and saying, you know what? Is this a game? Am I just coming here week after week to show up? Or am I experiencing something? It's nothing to be afraid of, because if you say, God, I've looked within, and you know what? It's not real to me. What's going to happen? You just say, God, help it be real. You know what Jesus said? Those who come to me, I will in no wise what? I'll no wise cast out. I'll never turn you away. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you take that look within and you discover, you know what? It's not real. I'm not being changed. You know what, God, I really don't care. I've got my own life, my own agenda. But the Spirit speaks to you and you realize, you know what? It's about time that I care. It's about time something real and transforming takes place in me where I have a daily encounter with the living God. You say, God, make it real. Help me. He'll give you that desire. He'll work on your heart. He'll make it real. So the Lord's Supper helps us see ourselves at the foot of the cross. As we take that look within, we put ourselves there at the foot of the cross. And as the drops of blood hit our own heads, we realize he died for me. I need him. I need this Savior. I need this God who so loved the world. So as you look within, is your heart ready to worship and adore the one who poured out his life for you? What do you see when you take a look within? Well, after we look back and within, the third look is to take a look around to the community of believers who are with us. 1 Corinthians 10:17 says, because there was one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. Well, what are we looking around for? Are we looking around to see who's been naughty and nice? Are we little Santa Clauses? Why are we looking around? We look back, we look within, we look around. Why? Why this? Oh, James, you are awesome. That's right. The third look reminds us that we need the body of Christ to encourage us to keep looking to the cross. We need the body of Christ to encourage us to stay in a saving relationship with Jesus. You remember what Ecclesiastes 4 says? Two are better than one. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Why are we supposed to be looking around? Not to judge. That's not the context. Look around because the body of Christ is supposed to be there for each other, because we all fail. We all fall. And God has designed it so that the body is there to help and encourage each other at our worst times. When someone blows it, are you punitive? Are you harsh? If someone doesn't come through in some way, do you shake your head at them and go, what's wrong with you? How could you? You scold them? You give them the glaring look? No. The look of Christ is to build up, is to help. Doesn't mean we hide our heads in the sand. We have to confront things. It's for sure, no doubt. But when we fall, we need to say, you know what? We're here to help. Let's help you. Let's do what it takes to get back on track. The body of Christ is a healing body, right? Do you experience God's church as a healing church? It's supposed to be, right? It's supposed to be the number one place you go to heal. Did you know that God never meant the bar to be your number one healing place? He never meant a football game, your buddies at the game, to be the number one healing place. He never meant a chat room. Where did he mean to be the number one healing place? The body of believers. The body of the church. That's what he meant it to be. But that, you know what that means? That means people need to feel safe here. That means that when they blow it, that means when they're struggling, that means that they're going to feel not condemned. They're going to say, you know what? We understand. We forgive you. Now let's help you. Let's help you get back on track. I always say it's never a shock or surprise that people, even Christians, falter. Never a shock. The shock is that we don't get help and love each other through it. The shock is that we don't reach out and help those people, or that they don't get help with all the resources. So don't ever be shocked that someone blows it. Don't go, what are you doing? We're all sinners, and that's what sinners do. But through the help of Christ, we can overcome that with unconditional love. All right. God's people are supposed to encourage each other. One more thought about this, because I love this story. How many of you like baseball? You know, Japanese are supposed to love baseball. But I guess I'm the only one. Nobody else? Now, I don't like watching it on TV. I like when I used to go to Dodger games all the time. I used to take a bus down there and had a lot of fun. But it's a Dodger story, but it goes all the way back in the days of Brooklyn, where they spoke with an accent over there. And Jackie Robinson, familiar name to you? Why is Jackie Robinson so famous besides being a great player? He was the first player what? Of color, first African-American to play in Major League Baseball. Well, they were playing at home one time. Every time they played on the road, he was jeered, he was hooted, derided, because he was a person of color. Well, they're at home in Brooklyn, their own field at Ebbets, and he plays second base. He makes an error. His own home team would not stop booing him. Why? It was an advantage. It was an opportunity to take advantage of this moment and really make him feel bad. And the stadium just would not go on with the game. They wouldn't let him go. So he just stood there out in the field with his head hung low, literally wanting to die and saying, my baseball days are over. It was at that moment, a teammate named Pee Wee Reese, think he was shortstop, but I'm not sure, came up, put his arm around Jackie, and stood there, and the crowd went silent. He just stood there a long time with his hand around Jackie's shoulder saying, I am going to support this guy. I am his friend. And if you're not a friend of his and you're not a friend of mine, because I'm with him no matter what. And from that moment on, Jackie says, I knew when my teammate put his arm around my shoulder and stood by to support me, I knew that no matter how hard it would ever get, I was going to make it. That's what we need to feel from each other. We need to feel the same thing in the body of Christ. All right? So we've looked at three looks. First was a look where? Back. Then a look within. Then a look around. Final look of the fourfold look is a look, can you guess? A look ahead to the future. A look ahead. Until he comes, we are to look, as it says in verse 26, the fourth look is to the future. Jesus said he wouldn't eat of that bread and drink of the cup until he's with us at the banquet table in God's kingdom. So I have a question. How do we live then between the cross and the cloud, between his first coming and his return? How do we properly show gratitude and worship the God and Savior who has shown us this amazing grace? That's the way I like to put it. How do we live between the cross and the cloud as we look to the future coming of Christ? Well, I answer it for myself by this story. A certain man was a medical missionary living in India. And while he was there, the people there in India were born with healthy vision in this part of the country, but for some reason, many of them would get a progressively degenerative eye disease that took away their sight. It was terrible. But this medical missionary developed a surgical procedure that spared their sight. Now, how happy would you be if someone saved you from blindness? How many would you be happy? How many of you would take a moment to say, thank you, doctor? Anybody? I want to tell you that not one person in that who received those procedures in that area ever said thank you to this doctor. Not one. What do you think about that? Pretty bad? Sad? Guess what? There's a good reason. There's a good reason why no one said thank you. You say, how could there be a good reason? What good reason could there be not to say thank you? Why? There are two good reasons. Number one, there was no word in their dialect for thank you. Can you imagine that? Is there no word for thank you in their dialect? Yeah, they had something better. They had something better. Instead of saying thank you, they had a word in their language that meant, I will tell your name. I will tell your name. What's that mean? Doctor does the procedure. Instead of thank you, I will tell your name. What's it mean? I'm going to let people know what? What you did for me. I'm going to let people know what you did for me. Why are we here at communion? How are we supposed to live until Jesus comes? By what? How do we say thank you? By telling his name. By telling his name. We can sit here in church all day long and week after week say thank you, thank you, thank you. But until you go tell his name, you really haven't said thank you yet. When you tell your name, his name, that is when you show gratitude for what the Savior has done. And so communion is a time to tell his name. It's a time to proclaim what the Lord has done for us. But let me tell you something. What did Jesus do at the cross? He saved us from a spiritual blindness that was eternal in its consequences. He saved that from death, spiritual death here and eternal death. He saved it from saved us from that all. And so how do we live between the cross and the cloud? By telling his name, by proclaiming it, by not only demonstrating it, but by proclaiming it. We need demonstration and we need proclamation. They always go hand in hand together. But let me tell you something. God never meant for us just to proclaim it to each other. God never meant for church to be a place where we proclaim it to each other. We've already heard. What do we need to do? We need to get out and tell others. That's what we need to be all about. So this is how we celebrate communion. We look back, we look within, we look around, and we look ahead to proclaim him to the world. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me, for as often as you drink this, eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Our church would like to invite everyone to be a part of the special service to follow. We begin with the foot washing service. We have rooms for couples, rooms for families, men, women. They'll be directed out there. But the idea is that as we wash each other's feet in a simple basin of water, we're simply demonstrating the same kind of love, selfless love, that Jesus demonstrated when he bathed his own disciples, right? They were all clamoring, who's going to be greatest in the kingdom? Jesus showed them, the greatest is those who serve, those who love. And sometimes people use this as an opportunity to confess or to restore a relationship or to strengthen a relationship. It's a beautiful time. And we prepare our hearts. And then we come back here and we partake of these emblems. The bread represents Christ's body that was broken for us, his blood that was shed. And it renews. This is a mini baptism. You're going, well, I'm a sinner and I've really messed up. I should be baptized again. Well, in special cases, perhaps. But this is the mini baptism for the believer who's growing but knows that they need to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. This is the time to do it. So during the foot washing time, Catherine Lewis is going to be sharing a children's story time. If you'd like your children to participate in this children's time, she has something prepared during that time. Let us reverently return to the sanctuary after we're finished. God bless you. Let us pray to prepare our hearts. Amen. We're going to begin with some scripture reading this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul said, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Elder Eric will now read in Japanese.
コリント前書11章23節、私は主から受けたことをまたあなた方に伝えたのである。すなわち主イエスは渡されるよパンを取り、感謝してこれを裂き、そして言われた、これはあなた方のための私の体である。私を記念するためにこのように行いなさい。We're going to pray together.愛し祭る御在天の父なる神様、このあなたが記念せよと仰せになられましたこの聖餐儀式に預かることができますことを感謝いたします。恵みの象徴であられますパンを通して イエス様の体を象徴であられますパンを通してあなた様の恵みを我々がいただくことができました。2009年我々がたくさんの恵みを受けながら生活し信仰を守り通すことができましたことを感謝いたします。これから先新しく迎えた2010年2010、我々の行くべき道をどうか守りお支えくださいますように、我々に夢と希望とそして幻をお与えください。それに向かって歩ましてください。このパンをお祝福くださいますようイエス・キリストの尊き皆を通してお祈りいたします。アーメン。
Bread. We are blessed to have three acquaintances, longtime friends of the Manoa Church, Japanese Church, Dick, the Viola.
Viola.
I got it? Okay, and Mickey. Right. All right, thank you.
I am.
That's right.
I have to say something. This is home.I spent some 30-some years in Hawaii, and it just feels so pleasant to be with family and friends, warm sunshine. And the Lord has blessed Margie and I. We're glad to share this song, which talks about the God, Christ, who gave all.
Above all wonders, treasures of the earth. There's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind the stone, lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took fall and thought of me
Jesus said, take, eat, this is my body broken for you. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the knowledge of the gift of sacrifice of your Son, and we're grateful for his example of servitude and humility that we celebrate today. We, though, by taking of these tokens of bread and wine, submit and surrender our lives to you and the workings of your Spirit, and only pray that during this coming year, 2010, that we will truly be vessels for your Spirit to work through us, to show that special kind of love to those around us. Bless this church to that end, we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Jesus said, drink this cup, for as long as you partake of this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. We want to remind the congregation before we sing our closing hymn that we have begun this last year a new practice of taking up a benevolent fund offering after communion service. This is for members that may run into a spot of difficulty sometimes, and we would have something to help them out in some tangible way. So that deacons will be in the back waiting with that offering plate if you'd like to participate with that. This time, let us stand together to sing our closing song, 183, I Will Sing of Jesus' Love.